to like it for conversation's sake. That's about right. Okay, folks, you ought to have your Bibles open once again to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 and 18. And we're going to pick up now and continue with our study of the first component of receiving the instruction of justice, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men, and the godly labor will be verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Well, we've successfully gotten the godly thinking down, and it really wants to go now and to live and become productive and put on display in the conduct and the behavior, the details of your life. And it really does, it's going to mate perfectly and join perfectly with the issues that stand behind recompense to no man evil for evil, and the reasons why that is the seminal thinking of God the Father and God the Son when it comes to justice, and the why that stands behind that, that we went painstakingly over in the last lesson. So when that's living now in you, its desire is to do just what the second sentence of verse 17 says, and that is to provide things honest in the sight of all men. That does not say be honest. It's not talking about just being a straight shooting chum, or don't cheat people, be above board, be transparent, and don't let your temper get the best of you, and just be honest and let's move on. That's not what it says. It says provide things honest, and it's after something very specific and very particular what these things are. Well, let's start where we should start and where nobody but your King James translators start, and that's with the word provide. Every other modern English version will not have the word provide, because they certainly can't think beyond a kindergarten education when it comes to English, and therefore they can think on a graduate level when it comes to Greek, but they're kindergartners when it comes to English, of why God would say provide things honest in the sight of all men. Provide. What does it mean to provide?
To give.
To make available. Good. That's good. You've been studying. To produce beforehand. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right. That's good. And that's really getting down to it. Even when your first couple of definitions, you have to think through why God didn't use that word. It may be a synonym, it may be a definition, but God used the word provide things honest. Basically, the word provide comes from the Latin providere, which in that Latin prefix pro, meaning before, plus a word meaning to see before. And really, that's when we're not talking about seeing with your physical eyes. One of the best ways I ever had it explained, my pastor who led me to Christ, Harley Melton, when he'd come across passages in God's Word about see, but you're not talking about seeing with your physical eyes, he'd say, you all understand this, because he said, I can listen to somebody who's talking to someone else on the telephone, and they'll go, uh-huh, I see. They're not seeing anything with their physical eyes at all. But to see before, to look after, to attend to exercise foresight in taking due measures in view of a possible event. I'm going to put that on the board. To see before, but not see just with your physical eyes, to look after, to attend to exercise foresight in taking due measures in view of a possible event. Think of that last one again. to exercise foresight in taking due measures in view of a possible event. When you provide something, just like that initial thing to see before, if you wouldn't use the word see, what else could you say that you're doing before an event takes place? You're anticipating, preparing, comprehending. We're getting more basic, which is good. You've got to think beforehand. All of you know what it's like to entertain guests at your home for something, birthday, whatever it is. You don't just wake up, wait until 5 minutes before people start showing up, and then do something. Heavens, sometimes for the most benign, I've had people over to the house who are more backwoods than I am, that are more laid back than I am, and my wife goes to extreme measures for them that she really doesn't even go to for me. And it's like all this preparation has to go into effect. And when you provide something, getting down to its core issue is there's always a certain degree of calculation. There's a certain degree of contemplation or thoughtfulness that goes into it. I was talking to Cecil the other day. We have coming up in October our 20th anniversary. I will have been here 20 years. Some of you will have been here 20 years. Some of you will have been here more than 20 years. Because some of you in here go back to an old Winnebago, which I didn't go back to. Whatever Bob Robinson was, who was the original founder of this assembly, he was one of the most thoughtful persons I ever met in my life. He thought of things that I never would have thought about when Cindy and I moved here. And just going over with Cecil a list of the things that he did, and he just did them. He didn't ask, he just did them. I had not been to a dentist in 11 years before I came here. And he said, well, we've got to get, he started pointing, he'd go, we got to get these checked. It's the first time ever I had an eye exam. He said, we got to get these checked. He said, how long has it been since you've had a physical? Not since I played baseball in high school. You're going to get a physical. You need a mechanic. He could tell that by what we drug here from Indiana. You need a mechanic. You need a good dentist. You need a good doctor. You need all of these details that nobody had ever thought ahead on for me. Where we were to live, it had to have a fenced backyard. And like I said, all of us have our foibles and our downfalls, but one of the core issues of Bob, and you could say that oftentimes he had other motives for it, but he was always thoughtful. I never met that level of thoughtfulness in a person who took into account details that I would have thought a stranger would have never thought of, but he did. And it was just amazing, the forethought. Now, Bob could take that to an extreme. He could think things out, so overthink them. But all I'm after there is the heart of that man was that he was extremely thoughtful. And it's this kind of providing something where real calculation, contemplation, and thoughtfulness goes into it. Like providing a dinner. You don't just say, you don't sit everybody down and say, so what are we going to have? When they get there, the expectation is something is to be on display, both by my eyes and by my nose. Even music, ambiance sets the stage for a dinner and all of this kind of thing. It's thoughtfulness and readiness. And the issue of providing is to get into a readiness state for some future use. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. That comes as the natural outlet for your godly thinking of recompense to no man evil for evil, because my Father and His Son right now are not dispensing wrath. They're not pouring out righteous judgment upon this earth. Jesus Christ today is not fulfilling the second and third mandate of the Davidic covenant. He is not being the deliverer and the avenger on this earth. He is still being the redeemer. And He's holding back that wrath. And now, with that more important aspect of leading men to repentance and creating a new creature, the church, the body of Christ, I desire now to take that thinking and to display it. Like at a dinner, I'm going to display that whole thing. And much like at a dinner, the idea is to make certain prior preparations, because why do you make the preparations you make for a dinner? You've done some figuring. You've done some calculating. Let's go ahead and use the terminology Jethro would use. You've been ciphering. You've done some ciphering. And what you're figuring on, you're figuring on certain persons are going to come to that dinner and they're going to partake of what you provided. There's tremendous power behind that first word, provide things honest. Provide. The onus is upon you. And much like that dinner, you're going to make prior preparations, because you figure on certain persons coming to partake of it. So too, because of this godly thinking, your calculation is, and it's a right one to make, there are persons who are supposed to be and will be partakers. They're going to be witnesses to this corresponding conduct and behavior. And that should thrill you. That's the desire. That's where the drive behind recompense to no man evil for evil goes. That's one of the reasons why in this dispensation of grace, and when you go back and you think about what God sets forth there in the first couple of chapters of the book of Romans, one of the things He talks about is that even though He is the just one and the justifier of them which believeth in Jesus, what He has done, He has done things that has provided for all men to partake of His goodness, the riches of His goodness, and His forbearance, and His long-suffering. It's out there, and men can see it, so to speak. And they can partake of it. And persons are to come along, and they are going to be witnesses to you, to your justice. And you are to witness to them through that. And put on display by your corresponding conduct and behavior to all of that godly thinking. But my point is, once again, just to get back to that issue of provide things honest, calculation is always an issue in providing anything. Calculation, forethought, thoughtfulness. Thought has to go in calculation. And one a person comes along and provides against all contingencies. That's why we get the word, that's why we get such things as all being mentioned here. Provide things honestly, just in the sight of believers. No. Provide things honestly only when you're out in public. No. Private, public, believer, unbeliever, saved, lost, doesn't matter. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. The godly, just, fundamental thinking wants to do that. That's what it desires to do. And so one provides against all contingencies, against all possibilities. So therefore the expectation is that your thinking, Okay? Your mental attitude of godly justice is going to seek out, it's going to desire to be put into practice in your conduct and behavior with the expectation that you are going to put on a display. You're going to put on display for all to see. You don't come along and invite people over for dinner and say, well, part of you are going to eat in this room, and you can't come in this room and see the other preparations. Even at Thanksgiving, when the kids eat at the kid table, they get to see it all. So you're going to put on display something for all to see, but to see something specific and to see something particular. And the godly just thinking of recompense to no man evil for evil just naturally desires to do this. So as a son, you're going to take that godly thinking, and by its effectual working in your inner man, it will be that basis, that seed bed for a very particular and very specific thing to be provided for, or things to be provided for, and to be set before the eyes. That's what you want to do. That's what your father wants to do. How would you like it? Or how would it even be possible for you to be saved? If God said, okay, I sent my son to die on the cross. He did it. He paid redemption's price at Calvary. Died, was buried, and rose again. But what I'm going to do is, I'm going to withdraw every indicator that says I exist from my entire creation. You'd walk around today and saying, well, there isn't a God. The fact of the matter is, God has built into the creation indicators that He exists, into you as His creatures, that you have garnered His wrath as an unbeliever. All of these kinds of, what if God himself didn't provide things honest in the sight of all men? It would go against His fundamental just thinking. Well, I'm not sure if you follow that exactly, but sometimes things just make sense in my own head. But the godly just thinking of recompense to no man evil for evil naturally goes after this as the outlet for it. As a son, you're going to take the godly thinking. It's going to be the seedbed for a very particular thing to be provided for, to be set before the sight of those who you come into contact with. It's to be done in the sight of all men. And the emphasis here is in the sight of all men is that the men and women of this world, especially those who do you evil, especially those who do you wrong, they are by design designed to bear witness to something. Those folks, there's a powerful issue in this where those folks are designed to bear witness of something, so to speak, something very specific, very particular, but all men are to view it. So if you're in a situation that calls upon you to recompense to no man evil for evil, it's almost like the primary ones who are going to witness what your provision, who are going to witness your thoughtful calculation to provide things honest in the sight of all men, primarily are going to be the ones who did you harm, but those aren't the only ones that are watching. There's all those people back there. There's other saints who are even watching you. And this is getting into one of those areas where most Christians don't do this. They just don't. I don't know if you've heard me say it once, but you probably heard me say it a dozen times. You've never been had. I mean royally, thoroughly, throughly had until you've been had by a Christian. I don't know. For some reason, Christians just know how to just gut you like a fish, like no unbeliever knows how to do. That's why I can tell you what most Christians are going to have for lunch today. Pastor goes down with anything. One of the joys is to you go to church, you go have dinner, and you chop the pastor up piecemeal and have him for lunch. Or the choir director. Did you hear that song today? How many times are we going to sing Victory in Jesus? Well, what I'm after is even believers are going to be witness to this. And the emphasis here in the sight of all men is that all men are in view, saved and lost. Those who have done you evil or not. But primarily those who have done you evil. And the very specific and the very particular thing that you're to provide for by means of the effectual working of the fundamental godly thinking of justice, you are to provide things honest in the sight of all men. Provide things honest. Actually, what we did there, I don't know if you noticed it or not, we dealt with provide and then in the sight of all men. And now that leaves us with things honest. Things honest. Provide things honest. That's very specific. It's general terminology, but it's specific as to what it's driving at. It's what's called, in fact, really, what we're really after here is this one word, honest. Provide things honest. What does Paul mean? You can't answer because you talked to me at the break and I know that you hit the bullseye. What does Paul mean by things honest? What does the word honest mean in this context?
Here there would be no ill motive.
No ill motive. Okay. Not bad. We're not in the tin ring though. Now we're sliding right back into what I said this is not talking about. Because we're not talking about just being honest in the sense of be honest, be fair in your dealings with others. So you can't go there. Truth? You are very close. What? Transparent, now you're getting colder. Good, you're getting colder. I mean, it is good. I'm not saying this isn't good. Let me help you, and then you can give me some more answers here. What does Paul mean by things honest? What does the word honest mean in this context? With a context that says, okay, my godly thinking of justice is to recompense to no man evil for evil. That thinking is going to get put on display in a way in which it could be said, I am providing things honest in the sight of all men when it comes to displaying that thinking. That's true. It's without deception, and that's close, but here's a hint. It's not talking about being honest. It's not talking about being an honest person who's fair, not a cheater, sincere, reputable, square dealing, ethical, above board, decent, upstanding individual, doing things so that nobody could ever accuse you of wrong. That's not. So you can't go there. Now we're getting close. Now we're going somewhere. Okay, let's just wait for that just a moment. Honest here is more specific than fair, not a cheater, sincere, square dealer. It's more specific than that. And the reason I know that is because of the first sentence. The first sentence wants to put this on display. Well, think of it this way. What do you have right now? You're not inviting people to a dinner, so we're not talking about your home. What do you have to put that first verse or first sentence on display? Because you do have something. True. It's more specific than that. Wisdom. Wisdom has to work with it in order to put it on display. But there's an actual thing that you know you've got. All of you know you've got it. You're just not thinking of it. It is, the honest here is the particular thing I've been talking about. It's kind of the encapsulation of one term, honest. What it is encapsulated by that one term. All right? Let's do this, because I want you to get this. Well, let's go back to what I was saying before. You now have some godly thinking. You got all of God, you got godly wisdom, not all of it, but you've got the fundamental instruction of wisdom. You've got the very first thought of the very first component of the instruction of justice. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Then that wants to be put on display. It wants to go somewhere and live. And you're going to do that by, all right, taking things and providing things honest in the sight of all men. So again, I come back to the issue. When it comes to taking godly thinking and putting it on display, there is something you have as a believer in Jesus Christ that allows you to do that. Yeah. But these are all components within the overall thing. All right, let's try this. Let's forget for right now, you said that the word honest, can also mean what? What did you say? True. All right. Now let's take it right there and stop and not talk about the Word of God and all of that. Because you are providing things honest. What if you use that word, true? Provide things true in the sight of all men. True to what? Now you're getting closer. Justification is a part of it. I didn't mean this to be a chase my thought around time. It is honorable. It's honorable because of the truth of what it is. You're providing things honest. You're providing things true. Let's do this then. Let's take the next step. The word honest, outside of just talking about that which is, you know, you're not a cheat, you're not a liar, you're not this. Honest can mean suitable, genuine, true, true to who you really are. Can you finish that? In Christ. There. Now we're hitting the bullseye. Honest is honest. Oh, yeah, that's about where we are after all of that. I got my monkey up there. Honest, when you provide something honest, you're providing something that is suitable, genuine, and true. That's the nature of why it's worded the way it is. When you provide things honest, honest is something that is unvarnished, so to speak. You're going to provide the unvarnished truth of who you are in Christ. Genuine. And in connection with your actions, with your conduct and behavior, with that godly thinking, It means true to who you really are as a son in Christ. And that's exactly what you have there when you were in Adam, you are now in Christ, and to put them side by side, this is who I now am in Christ. And one of the things that you're doing is you're gaining a better appreciation for how sketchy, to use the modern expression, this cartoon chart really is. This is so oversimplified, it's unbelievable. But the aspect of who God made me to be in Christ, when it comes to putting on display my sonship life, one of the major aspects of who God made me to be in Christ is the issue of me being able to think and live according to His godly justice, because it's exactly the way He thinks and lives. And Paul comes along here and he says, recompense to no man evil for evil. And when you've got that down and it's effectually working, then provide things honest in the sight of all men. And the reason it's so vague and the reason it's so general is because the onus is upon you as a son to be able to detail the kind of circumstances and situations where that display of who God made you to be in Christ is going to be put on display. In details. He doesn't get into the details. This isn't casebook study. But that's what your desire is. Your desire, it's almost like it's one of the greatest desires that you currently have is to take that godly thinking and put it on display. And when I do, I'm going to be displaying who I am in Christ. Look, this is the first time ever that you encounter the word honest in the sonship curriculum. I didn't say in the Bible, but in the book of Romans, this is the first time the word honest is used. And while it's true, honest and honesty means upright, fair dealings and so forth, not a sham, it also carries that issue of not being ungenuine, being suitable for something. Being genuine, being true. And it sets a precedent, so to speak, for the way in which Paul uses the word honest later on in the curriculum. Come over, let's just run a couple of passages very, very quickly here. You've got Romans open, just cast your eyes down through chapter 13 to verse 13. When Paul comes along here and he says, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting or in drunkenness, not in chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's how you're going to walk honestly. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But notice, walk honestly. Put on display who you really are, true to who you really are in Christ. Come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Really don't have time to run these, but we'll just do it very quickly. Look at, for time's sake, I really don't have time to get back up there into the context and everything, so we'll just look at verse 21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And if you spend some time to read there, in the context, you'll find that's what Paul's driving at for the Corinthians, where the wheels started falling off. They were not living consistent with who God made them to be in Christ. Look, folks, living consistent with who God made you to be in Christ did not end at the end of Romans chapter 6. It's never ended. In fact, we never even got it underway that much. Sonship really gets it underway to live consistent with who, because now we can really begin living out all of those things that we only desired back there in Romans 6. Look at chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. I want to run to one here that I like. Really, it's fantastic. But just to mention another one here, since we're in it, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest. Honest, though we be as reprobates, for we can do nothing against the truth before the truth, and so forth and so on. But again, he set the precedent for what honest is, as he uses it in context that has to do with putting on display who you true, be true to who you really are in Christ. One of the fascinating ones is over here in 1 Thessalonians. This goes all the way to the Thessalonian saints. Come over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And they, in their advanced understanding of sonship and level 3 of sonship education, Paul still talks to them about their being consistent with who God made them to be in Christ. Pick it up and we'll read a couple of these verses. Verse 9. He says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write it." See, they had the whole doctrine. If you get the whole realm of godly, the doctrine of godly love and charity working in you, that is a synonym or as tantamount to saying, I've been through the entire curriculum. So Paul didn't even need to write to them about that. "You have need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing." And again, you've got that word honest being used as being true to who God made them to be in Christ. One other passage, since we're very close by, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Again, just fascinating, the context of the first two verses of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at what he says to Timothy here. "I exhort therefore that first of all," we were here before, "prayers and supplication, intercession and thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that authorities, that we may, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." We read that verse in the first session, and here it is again, almost in a it's almost spooky how parallel the context of what's being said there about praying for, about talking about the governmental authorities and all of these kinds of things. "But that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." And that's setting forth the truth of and reality of who God has made you to be in Christ. So my understanding is that the idea of provide things honest in the sight of all men is the issue of living and conducting and behaving yourself by what is suitable, what is consistent, what is the unvarnished, genuine truth of who you are as a son in Christ. And what you're actually doing here is you're picking on a very critical aspect of this particular aspect of who God has made you to be in Christ. And this thing is now starting to take on greater dimension. It's one thing to be able to utilize godly wisdom in the details of your life, and it does affect. You've seen how it goes out into your business world, how it goes out into your workaday world. But there's just something about dealing with justice issues the way God deals with them that captures men's attention. Almost like, don't you want to do that to them? I mean, he poked you. Here's a stick. Poke him back. Don't you want to poke him? No, I don't want to poke him. I'm not going to render evil for evil. And that's, by the way, that's not just simply do not render sin for sin. Do not render evil for wrongdoing. I don't intend to harm that person. It's a quality of God's justice that is incredible. After 2,000 years of harm that he's had done to him, that his attitude still is, I don't want to harm them for the harm they've done to me. I want to lead them to repentance. And a son gets to set that on display along with these other things. That's why you mentioned justification. It's up there. It's part of it. But especially these things that deal with who God has made you to be sanctification-wise. And you're going to provide things honest in the sight of all men, true to who you are as a son in Christ, true to who you are as a son in Christ in this present dispensation of grace in which you live. What a privilege to be able to do that, because that matches the justice type thinking and the justice type conduct and behavior of God the Father and God the Son right now as it exists in this dispensation of grace, where he is not judging in righteous judgment San Francisco or Washington, D.C., or you or me. And he is holding back his wrath. And we get to put that on display and provide that honesty and that truth and that genuineness and that reality in the sight of all men. And this conduct and behavior of this first component of the instruction of justice is that you are to live consistent and live true to God's sense of justice as it now exists in this dispensation of grace. To me, my understanding, that's what the word honest means when you are to provide it. See, that's the difference than just being a good Joe and being above board and not cheating. But that's not providing it. That's talking about like the essence of something. This is something you have calculated and thought out. This is where your thinking, calculation, and thoughtfulness goes. That when I can take this godly thinking and it lives in me, it wants to live out through me. And the way it wants to live out through me is by my conduct and behavior of the thinking of not recompensing evil to evil, to actually put on display the reality and truthfulness of who I am in Christ as a member of the body of Christ in this dispensation of grace. What a privilege. When you provide something honest, you're conducting yourself in a way and doing things in a way that are true to who you really are, or true to a virtue that you're operating upon. And that's a valid concept in connection with us as sons in this dispensation of grace. Because before you ever got here to Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, before you got to this point in your sonship education, we were taught about an identity that we have in Christ. And so the issue in this conduct and behavior aspect of godliness in connection with justice is the issue that we are providing by everything that we do in response to men, especially when we don't get from them fair dealings, when we don't get from them honest dealings, when we have been evil done to, we've had evil done to us, or we've been harmed, or something detrimental, something unbeneficial has been done to us, and so forth. The issue is we've got a sanctified position in Christ that is designed, listen, by virtue of its very nature, to not follow that course of action of repaying in kind. But to follow, its nature is to follow an entirely different course of action that is 180 degrees opposite of that. A course of action that's designed for good works. Folks, just come back to it. We're out of time. We're not going to deal with it. We'll pick this up on Wednesday night. But let your eye just do this, because I know you can. Flip back to Romans chapter 6. We're not going to read any verses here right now. We're about out of time. We've got to get out of here because we've got a meeting that we've got to take. But cast your eye on chapter 6. Just cast your eye on it. And you'll catch those things that you first, when you remember back when you first, your first desire was, the grace of God has taken the greatest position of power in the known universe, to God and to man and to angels. It now sits in a throne of power that only death sat on before. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And you wanted to get that grace abounding. And when you did, chapter 6 came along. God said, I'm glad you asked. And I'm going to tell you about it all. And those elementary desires, when we learned who God made us to be in Christ, that we're dead to sin, alive unto God, but the desire was that we wanted to produce what? Fruit unto holiness that God could accept. Well, skip ahead now where we are. Now you're getting to do that. And it's just like that seed that just wants to bust through the soil and sprout and grow, and it wants to display what its roots all contain. And that godly thinking now wants to just blossom and display what its root seed contains. And godly justice in a way that is magnificently sensitive in the sight of men's eyes and ears puts on display who you are in Christ in a manner that's almost unmatched. The only thing that's going to eclipse it is judgment and equity. But it's finally being able to do something we've only talked about for so long. Put the identity that we have in Christ on display. And you were told right there that there's some issues that a course of action is designed in Christ for good works, in which we are to yield our members as instruments of righteousness. What is the opposite again of righteousness? Don't say unrighteousness. Evil? Wrath? You don't want to yield your members as instruments of wrath. You yield your members as instruments of righteousness. The reason why God used that term back there, all the way back in chapter 6, He was preparing for this moment. And the issue of us providing things honest in the sight of all men is really the issue of us putting on display the truth of who we really are in Christ. But there's a fundamental thinking that has to be in effect for that to take place, and it's that. That has to be in effect before that, right there, becomes the natural response of our conduct and behavior. And the fundamental thinking is, when evil is received, there's no desire to recompense it with the same. In fact, there's really a desire to recompense it. Remember when I said this a while back was something entirely different? Goodness, forbearance, long-suffering. The real desire is to recompense it with who you are in Christ. And that takes you right back to the very first thought the Lord Jesus Christ Himself thinks to produce the very response in His conduct and behavior, because He suffers it too. He feels it. And He suffers it too. I don't think it's ever dawned on anybody that when evil is done to me, as being a member of the body of Christ, it's done to Christ. Why doesn't He ever do anything? Well, it's because He's recompensing to no man evil for evil, and He is providing all things honest in the sight of all men. That is the fundamental characteristic of the Father and the Son's thinking of justice in this dispensation of grace. All right, we're out of time. We'll stop right there. And if that sits well, you got now between now and Wednesday to think about those things. Then, sorry, I didn't mean to take your thunder out. Mark told me at the break. He said, "The things honest. That has to be who we are in Christ." So that's why I wanted him to hold back, because he hit it bang on. And so you get the star for the day. No, I didn't mean that. But if that makes sense, if that's sitting well, then we're ready really to move to the verse 18 and start talking about the labor aspect to this first component. And it won't be long. We'll have this first component under our belts. And then we'll be off to another fun one. You want to get down there to find out what that heaping coals of fire is all about. All right. Well, we'll stop right there and we'll pick this up then on Wednesday night with our heads bowed.